Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10x points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Holla talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing forgiveness in limbo, AARP for babies, and day trading dropouts.
That's right, Joel. This is our Friday Flight episode where we are going to cover our favorite headlines that we came across this week. We're going to talk about how it's going to impact your money. You got anything, any banter for us here before we kick things off?
Okay, well, one, I did see that the UK has a new prime minister.
Of course.
But the last one was...
Gave his first address a couple days ago.
Short-lived, didn't last as long as a head of lettuce, apparently.
44 days yeah. is how long she lasted.
But the cool thing about... what happened to Liz Truss there? And if I was her, like, granted, there's a lot of probably humiliation that comes alongside being the shortest term prime minister in UK history. Well, but the silver lining, the bright side for her is the pension.
I know the silver lining.
So
that's right.
I'm going to throw my hat in next time, next go around for prime minister. I'm hoping that I get it.
Granted, she only did it for the passive income.
Maybe.
What a hack.
Maybe, right? Yeah, something like
£110,000
a year in perpetuity for the rest of her life.
That's pretty nice.
I'm hoping that I get it. I'm even willing to last shorter than she is. I'll take that mantle from her and then hopefully get a sweet pension for the rest of my life.
Differently over there. Yeah. I will say one thing that I appreciate that they do over in the UK. Parliament, the way that they that they run their government. I love how there'll be somebody there. They've got the floor. They're giving a speech or making a statement or something like that. And like everybody around them will just, they'll start booing. They'll start like heckling them. There's like this...
slapping the table.
Yeah. it feels like in this one way that our government's, it's way more formal and polite. Whereas oftentimes you think of the UK being very buttoned up and professional, but I don't know. I just appreciate how there's just a way to voice your opinion in alternative ways over in the UK.
That's right.
I feel like we could use some of that.
Agreed. Yeah. By the way, if you want to voice your opinion about our podcast, you can leave a review. We'd appreciate that.
We haven't asked for reviews in a long time.
We haven't. So if you just go into your podcatcher, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you are, or Apple Podcasts, I guess, not iTunes anymore.
Yeah,
just
that's right.
Leave a note for your fellow listener so they can know what you think of the show. We'd appreciate it. And one last thing, by the way, Matt, before we get into all the stories we found interesting this week, I saw some chatter in our Facebook group about I-bonds. People are trying to get in under the window. We talked about that last week. But of course...
Yeah. Well, this can be our first story because today is basically the last day that you have to place an order and get in under the wire before the rate resets.
But apparently, TreasuryDirect.gov is doing a little bit of site maintenance and it's making it more difficult for people to actually get in under the
literally
wire.
Site maintenance, or is the site just experiencing...
I think it's both.
High call volume.
I think it was both. I think it was two things. I think there was a lot of people trying to get under the wire, trying to nab this 9.62 rate before it expires.
That makes sense.
Today's the last day. Mm-hmm. But apparently someone on our Facebook group said, and I don't know, I haven't seen this confirmed anywhere else, that there was some site maintenance going on as well during at least one day this past
incredibly
week.
Incredibly stupid.
Yeah.
Like, what are you
poor
thinking?
Timing.
Poor time. Well, this
so
can...
So best of luck, by the way, to people. Go over to treasurydirect.gov. We'll put the link in the show notes. And if you still want to get in on that fortuitous I-bond rate, today's the last day. And good luck to you if you're trying to make it happen. There's a lot of other people trying to do it, too.
That's right. Yeah, so that'll actually be the first of our Friday Flight, the stories that we've come across this week. And we call it the Friday Flight because it's a sampling, not unlike were you to go to a brewery and have a flight of beers. It's a little sampling of all the different stories. So don't forget about the I-bonds. The next story worth mentioning, man, student loan forgiveness, because I think a lot of folks might be wondering if it's still happening. They may have seen some headlines about... several states appealing some of that student loan forgiveness. And so whether or not this is happening, it's a big fat maybe. You know, we mentioned the questionable legality of the president's forgiveness plan when it was announced. It was the way he did it. It was, you know, it's a bit tenuous. It was a tenuous way of going about forgiving some student loan debt. Well, a flurry of lawsuits have been filed, and a federal appeals court has temporarily stopped the administration from proceeding with its forgiveness plans. And so we're not totally sure what's going to happen. But, you know, while things are in limbo, if you haven't yet, we would still encourage you to fill out the forgiveness application. It's available on the studentaid.gov's website. They're still taking those applications, even while things are up in the air. We'll make sure to link to that again. It's only going to take something like 30 seconds of your time.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, if you are one of the folks whose entire balance is going to be wiped out, it sucks to say this, but be prepared to start paying on that loan again when the new year begins, just in case. You know, hopefully we'll have more information soon. And when we do, we'll be sure to discuss when we do. But we're sorry that a lot of y'all are experiencing some student loan whiplash. But I think maybe that's what you can expect from the government as we're trying to execute something like this quickly.
Yeah, I kind of hate to see tears of joy turn into tears of sorrow. But again, like we said, like this is the way this was done is not the normal route that you would approach something like this. Typically, we would pass some sort of bill through Congress.
Yeah,
but Congress
actual legislation, but
prefers,
that is not what happened.
No, they prefer not to legislate most of the time. But let's move on, Matt. We talked about the rising cost of Halloween last week. Well, it's not the only holiday that's going to cost you more. Thanksgiving is going to cost us all more money, too.
I'm guessing we'll probably say the same. Actually, we probably won't say the same thing about Christmas because of all the inventory glut that we're evidently experiencing. Maybe, well, there's like a silver lining up ahead that Christmas will cost less.
Christmas presents might cost a little bit less. But
not Thanksgiving.
The turkey is going to cost you more. And it's not just inflation to blame on this one. It's also the avian flu that's leading to the price increase on turkeys these days. At the grocery store, and somewhere close to 6 million turkeys died during this most recent avian flu outbreak. The Washington Post even like interviewed some turkey farmers out in California to talk about how negatively it impacted their flock. And first off, it's sad because turkeys are cute, right? And nobody wants turkeys to die.
No.
But it's also sad because it's going to cost us all, anybody who likes to eat turkey at least, a little bit more this year. Prices are up something like 20% compared to last year. So we'd say, yeah, get ready for some sticker shock. When you're at the grocery store trying to buy that bird, the best tip I've got, Matt, is to tell people to use sales flyers to their advantage.
Heck yeah.
You might be able to snag a frozen turkey still in the dollar a pound range if you're timing it right. And one of the best spots, we would say, to stay up to speed on what those sales flyers are looking like all in one place is a website called flip.com with two P's. We'll link to it in the show notes, but it's one of those places where, yeah, you can see all the grocery providers, all of their discount flyers.
Their weekly circulars.
Yeah, all in one spot. So you can be like, oh, they're charging $1.50 a pound for turkeys, but this place is charging $1.10. And that way, yeah, you can run to the right place to get the best deal.
Yeah, yeah. MyGroceryDeals.com Amazon.com. That's another site where you can, it's sort of like a search engine. You can search for specific groceries and you like punch in your area code and it'll pull up the best deals in your area for a particular item. So it's not just the looking at like the PDF, digitized PDF form of the circular, but you can actually search, seek out specific things as well. And so, yeah, some, you know, savvy shopping. Like this is one way to combat at least some of the harmful effects of this persistent inflation that we've experienced. Another one might be to get an AARP card, even if you're a youngster like us. And we're totally not joking. This trend, not surprisingly, it started on TikTok. But apparently folks in their 30s and their 40s, they are finding no shame in the AARP membership game. Does anyone ever say AARP?
Nope. You're the only one.
It made me think of like the NCAA. But the five-year $63 membership is available to people of all ages, and that'll give you access to discounts on a ton of different services out there, including meal delivery, prescription glasses, rental cars, cell phone service, tons more. I saw that like there's something like over 100 different hotels that you can get a discount for, which kind of surprised me. So if you're someone who stays in hotels often, it would totally be worth it, I think, for you. But we'll link to the full list in the show notes. And so, yeah, you know, instead of just like stressing out, fretting about getting old, maybe it might be wise to lean into it as opposed to like running from it. Like embrace those gray hairs as you enter middle age.
And you can embrace them even if you're not getting old, which is cool. Like there's no floor for the age you need to become an AARP member.
Exactly
right. You can be a 20-something sign up for this junk.
Yeah, why not? Get it for the discounts, man.
Yeah, lots of folks are doing it, I guess.
There's zero part of me that feels like, oh, it's admitting something by like signing up and getting that AARP membership. I'm totally comfortable with that.
And yeah, take a look at those discounts before you spend the $63. But if you're like, man, well, I'm going to use a handful of these, I'm going to get my money's worth.
Ticketmaster.
Yeah,
I saw Ticketmaster was on there as well.
Oh, wow.
Think about all the different surcharges and fees that they're tacking on.
Yeah.
The ability to kind of like claw some of those fees back. I love it.
Yeah.
Anything to stick it to Ticketmaster.
Even if you go see, I don't know, one show a year and you're buying it on Ticketmaster site, you might save enough money.
That's $20 a ticket.
Yeah, to pay for that AARP membership. Let's talk about travel for a second, though, because hopefully all of our listeners who are traveling for Thanksgiving, hopefully they already bought their tickets when we talked about it a couple months ago, because the window has closed, really, on deals for November travel. If you're going to try to buy a flight home now, you're going to be paying more than you should. You might be better off hitchhiking, I don't know, doing some outside of the box travel suggestion. But yeah, prices for basically everything travel related have been skyrocketing. They've been soaring. And the Wall Street Journal had an article this week about how even the cheap airline tickets are getting more expensive.
Oh, no.
I know.
Say it ain't so, Joel.
Your favorite, Spirit and Frontier.
I do love those guys.
I know. I've never actually flown on a Spirit flight.
Oh, really?
It is my goal to do it at some point, but
folks knock it, but the ability, like the options that it gives folks to be able to travel on the cheap, even though it's less cheap these days because demand is so high. But even still, I love that it exists. And so if they're raising prices, can you imagine what, you know, like Delta, British Airways, like some of these nicer airlines, what they're charging?
Yeah, prices are going up across the board. And I remember, too, one other reason to celebrate Spirit, even if you don't fly on it, when we talked with Scott Kies, he talked about how just these discounters existing, their mere existence is lowering the prices on these other airlines for everyone. But Spirit and Frontier are raising prices because demand is back in a big way. And so you've got to pay even more attention and be a savvy shopper using sites like Google Flights to help you determine when it's the right time to buy, where prices are heading, and so you can know when to pounce. But yes, it is true. Even those super discounters, Matt, they're raising their prices in a big way alongside the rest of the airlines.
That's right, yeah. So on that note, we've talked about how discount bus travel, how that can be an excellent way to get where you're going for less. Megabus, they transport folks to and from over 100 different cities across the country. They're the ones that have the tickets starting as low as $1. You see it like plastered on the side of the bus. Oh,
I've ridden on a few of those buses in my day.
Did you get yours when you did it? Did you score the $1 tickets?
I never scored the $1 tickets.
It's like a $3 ticket
something? I scored really cheap tickets. I think Emily and I got round trip to New Orleans for something like $18. Mm-hmm. Like
that's
really
great.
Cheap tickets. Yeah. And we went with some friends and it was glorious.
Yeah. But would you do it again now though? That's the thing.
That's a tough call.
I'm afraid that...
Not with my kids, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But if it's just me...
That was pre-kids.
If it's just me, I totally would.
You would do it?
Yeah.
See, I just like driving too much. I feel like I've missed the window for... There's certain things now that I'm just not willing to do.
Yeah.
And I think taking a bus that would take forever to get somewhere is something that I'm very willing to pick up something on the side of the road any day of the week, but traveling by bus, maybe not.
Well, the nice thing about the buses is that they have Wi-Fi, and so
that's
like
true.
You
that
could
nice.
You could just like get some work done, plug away, and then finally end up at your destination.
And all of a sudden, all your financial information gets stolen off your life. You'll have to, is this a legit Wi-Fi? I don't know. I'm just gonna sign me up, log me on. We mentioned this because the New York Times, they had an article this week about the uptick in luxury bus travel. So like the opposite of Megabus. Nap Away, it's a new startup in the space of fancy bus travel. They're offering an in-between option that's going to certainly cost more than Megabus, but it will often cost less than a flight. Sadly, their route offerings are fairly minimal and limited at this point. But again, just like we're talking about with Spirit, with more options and competition in this space, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So it's worth considering at least, right? I think bus travel, it's highly underrated and should be a way for you to at least consider if you're looking to save a lot.
Yeah, and Napaway, I think they only go to and from, Knoxville, Nashville, and Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. But eventually, if they expand service, it's a cool idea because they have lie-flat beds. Like, this is a fancy version of
basically,
bus travel.
Basically, it looks like business class or first class on a flight.
Exactly.
That's the thing. I'm not all about that luxury travel, right? Like, literally, I think I've only flown business class once ever in my entire life, and I'm pretty sure it was a mistake. I think the airline made a mistake, and Kate and I, we both ended up being in first class and our business class and got the drinks and everything like that. But when it comes to travel by bus, it does take a lot longer. So I'm willing to be shoved in the very back of the airplane, you know, on a Frontier or a Spirit flight if I'm only going to be sitting there for 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
But on a bus, man, you're there, you know, you're sitting on that thing for like 10, 11 hours if you're going from Nashville to DC.
Yeah, sure.
And in that case, being able to lie flat and take a nap, that would be a massive plus.
Yeah. Well, I get the value of bus travel. And I think if it's going to either make it more comfortable for you to travel or if it's going to be able to save you money, it's worth looking into. Mm-hmm. And I think especially for super frugal How to Money listeners, Megabus can be a great option. It's worth considering, especially if you can score those cheapest seats. The closer you book to your day, the less likely you're going to get a deal.
Yeah.
Just the same thing with the airlines. But so, yeah, if you wait too long, you're going to pay too much. But if you're looking way out ahead, you might be able to score a cheap enough seat that makes it just a slam dunk no-brainer for you to take the bus instead of any other form of travel.
Yep.
But
love that it's an option for folks.
Yeah. Well, speaking of travel, Matt, let's talk about permanent travel for a second. And yes, that means moving. Research from the Tax Foundation finds that more folks are opting to move in order to save money. And specifically, of course, from the Tax Foundation, these people are moving in order to avoid taxes. New York and California have seen record outflows of citizens, while low tax states like Florida, Texas, and Arizona are seeing an influx of newcomers, largely from those states. And it's not just tax policy, though, that's leading to this. Like, I think pandemic policies are likely another reason for some of this migration that's happening. But then the question comes up, like, Matt, is it frugal or cheap to move across the country in order to lower your tax bill? Do you think that's smart? Is that something a How to Money listener should be considering?
If you're moving from California, then yes. It's totally frugal. I mean,
if you're in the upper echelon tax brackets in California,
you're getting hit.
You're paying a lot.
Big time. And that's why, I mean, unfortunately, I think that's one of the reasons that you are seeing so many folks leave that state. Like, again, both California and New York, I know California is the top tax state, and I think New York is still in like the top five.
Top, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think the thing, what we would say too is, yeah, if you're being taxed a whole lot and moving elsewhere makes sense for you and your family, like, I think taxes should factor in at least to your desire and ability to move. But if you're basing it just on taxes, that's probably short-sighted, right? Because you should probably be moving for more reasons than just that, maybe to be closer to family, for more career opportunities. And if that just so happens to coincide with a lower tax rate, then that's great too. That's like the cherry on top. But I think moving just for tax rates, and again, I don't know that this is why people are moving. The Tax Foundation is saying that this is the case. I think there are a whole host of reasons people are leaving some of these states and moving to some of the, even the warmer climates of places like Texas and Florida.
The Sun Belt, baby.
The Sun Belt. It's a lovely place to be. But yeah, moving just to save money on taxes seems a little myopic.
Sure.
From where I'm sitting.
But I think one of the reasons too that folks might be moving is because of the ability to work from home, and we've got a couple of stories about that. Plus, we're also, of course, going to talk about investing, and we'll get to all of those stories right after this. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. That's why you listen to this podcast. And if you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table.
You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade, lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. And now a word from the show sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry. Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Let's say you've been listening to the podcast and now you're finally ready to start implementing some of the financial morsels that we're dishing up. Maybe you are trying to save up some more money for a down payment on a house, or maybe there's a big vacation that you have been dying to take. Well, the money app Monarch. They make it so easy to help you to reach your financial goals. That's why the Wall Street Journal, they named it the best app for growing your savings.
Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, collaborate with your partner even. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. And you won't get spammed either. Monarch features ad-free privacy you can trust. They will never sell your data to third parties or show you ads.
That's right, man. And after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. It just makes sense. It works. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. That's monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. For your extended 30-day free trial, go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney for an extended 30-day free trial.
All right, we are back from the break, and we are going to talk about working from home here in a second. There's some new data out about how people are using their time now that they have more of it back in their lives because they're commuting less. We'll get to that in a second. But first, let's get to our ludicrous headline of the week.
Give it to us, Joel.
This one comes from CNBC, and it reads, young, wealthy investors are turning to alternative investments, study shows.
First of all, who are all these young wealthies?
I don't know.
Do they actually exist?
I think, well, apparently they do.
Yeah, I guess so.
A new study from Bank of America shows that 80% of young investors with cash to throw around, they're worried that stocks aren't going to provide enough of a return for them in the future. Mm. And so what they're doing, they're turning elsewhere with the hopes of being able to make their money grow more quickly. Well, is this a good idea? Well, whether or not it is depends largely on which investments they're choosing. There aren't many great options, though, when you're talking about the alternative investment space. For instance, Matt, the most popular alternative investments are investing in shares of stuff like wine, whiskey, and artwork. But when you opt to invest in those, the fees are sky high. For example, mm-hmm. Masterworks, which is the website that allows you to invest in anything from a Keith Haring to a Picasso. I'm partial to Keith Haring myself. I love his stuff. But I'm not going to invest in his artwork via the Masterworks site because it charges people massive fees in the process, something like 1.5% annually, and then 20% of the profit when that piece sells. So the fees...
So much money.
Right. Not to mention the speculation of investing in just a particular piece of art or two. When you tack the fees on top, these alternative investments don't make nearly as much sense. They sound good. They look good on the front page of the landing page of these websites. But when you look underneath at performance and fees, there's kind of another darker underbelly to alternative investing.
That's right. Yeah. And like you said, I mean, there's just less diversification when you're looking at some of these investments too. You know, I mean, by the way, we don't put owning physical real estate in this category because you've got a lot more control over the outcome of that investment. But from a diversification standpoint, one fancy painting, you know, that you own a small piece of could see an astronomical rise in price. Yeah, allowing you to maybe reap some outsized returns, but many of the others that you could invest in might easily see smaller gains than what you would see in the overall stock market. We talked about this topic back in depth in episode 446. But alternative investments, they are not a great place for most folks to be investing. And the reality is that investing while the stock market is down, like it kind of has been for the past few months, it's great for your financial future. Hopefully you listened to our advice back in the spring when we told you to just keep buying. Mm-hmm. You want to keep investing within the stock market. You want to buy those widely diversified index funds, especially as the market is on a downturn. That gives you the ability to buy at a discount.
Yeah. So whoever these young, wealthy, elite investors are that Bank of America is talking to in the survey, we would say it's okay to use a little bit to play money in some of these alternative investment spaces, like something like 5%. But most of your money that you're investing for your future, you want to go to tried and true places. Mm. And that means owning slices of the American economy as a whole. But yeah, the reality is trying to find returns in these other random places, Matt, it often is going to end up to their detriment, right?
Sure.
And on that note, not everyone, right, sees this down market as a great time to invest. I saw this note, Matt, this week. All of the major investment companies, from Charles Schwab to Robinhood, they're reporting steep drops in trading activity on their platforms. Mm-hmm. Folks are just less interested in buying and trading stocks than they were in late 2020, early 2021. And this, of course, is a good thing, right? That people aren't in front of their computers to the same degree buying and selling stocks. And this is happening for a couple of reasons. One, the market's down significantly, and it's just less fun for the investing novice who was pumped as stocks were soaring,
yeah,
but who has likely seen their account balances dwindle a good bit at this point, and they're just a little trigger shy, I'd say, at this point. And also, stimulus money is running out. When you aren't getting fresh money deposited in your bank account, you're less likely to have the ability to make some of these speculative moves.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact, too, the reason that everyone's running out of money is just the ability to do things like spend that money on a plane ticket and travel, right? The ability for us to, like, not only were we getting influxes of cash going into our accounts, we were limited in how we could spend it back during the pandemic, and that has completely reversed course.
That's right. We couldn't use it on travel then, yeah. And so we did use it on speculation, or not you and I, but like the public as a whole, a lot of people are doing this. But you and I, we're glad to see the decline in trading activity, because the reality is the more you trade, the more likely you are to underperform. We do want you to, like Matt just said, just keep buying, but not buying and selling. We want you just to continue to sock money away in those tried and true index funds week after week.
That's right. Yeah, it seems like we're resuming some sort of normalcy within the investing markets.
Yeah.
Working from home, man, it's obviously here to stay. Even there are some companies who are calling folks back into the office at least, you know, for a day or two a week. But far more folks are working from home than were doing so pre-pandemic. This means less time is spent commuting and more time is back in the lives of workers. At least theoretically, some folks have opted to use that additional time to work more. But a new American time use study from the BLS, from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they found that the biggest uptick that we're seeing is time spent doing participating in leisure activities, things like working out, hanging out with friends, socializing, which is awesome. We love seeing this. It's a great use of that additional time that folks are able to scrape back into their lives, basically. And the study found also that older Americans are actually using some of that time to cook or actually spend it with their kids, which are some other great uses as well. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to touch on the story because how it is that we spend these additional pockets of time, it really matters, right? Like, we want folks to prioritize doing things that is basically that's going to move the needle on your happiness meter, and to spend time, you know, doing the things that are going to make you feel better over the long term. This is, in my mind, this is good news.
Yeah, and I like you said how you said those little pockets of time. I feel like that's something that I'm learning how to prioritize more, because I find myself with 3 minutes here, 5 minutes there, and I want to use those minutes effectively. And whether now I'm trying to use those to listen to a podcast or to actually even break out a book to read.
I meant pockets of time as in like a 30-minute commute, but yeah. Hey, you do 3 minutes.
No, but I think there is a lot to be said for those small periods of time where we typically break out our phones to scroll through social media, and we usually feel crappier at the end of that time as well. And mm-hmm. So you're right, we have a lot more time. People who are working from home have a lot more time that they can use more effectively now. And the reality is we're seeing just a lot more hybrid work, right, these days. And so In a lot of ways, that's great for workers. They are able to claw back more of their time to spend it the way they want to, but it's important to be thoughtful about how we're spending that time.
Totally.
And not just let work take over, and not just let ourselves fall into other less productive means of spending our time as well. And another benefit of remote work, Matt, the people who aren't commuting apparently are going to end up living longer. This was a new study from Vox over in Europe, and it found that not only are folks who work from home collectively saving themselves millions of hours commuting each and every day, but they're also, this study found, going to have a longer lifespan than their peers who are driving to the office every day. We've talked about, early on in the podcast, we talked about commuting and how people's commutes are killing them. Like, it's just unhealthy to be behind the wheel for multiple hours each and every day stuck in traffic. And this additional leisure time that people are bringing back into their lives is apparently leading to lower overall stress levels, which makes a ton of sense. And people who are working from home more frequently, they're apparently able to get more sleep, which mm-hmm. is a crucial factor in reducing things like chronic illness in your life.
And makes sense.
Yeah, this feels like a bit of a stretch to say that people who work from home are going to be living longer. But when you look at that kind of the data that's backing it up, it makes sense.
And, oh, yeah,
it and does. Sleep is a really important part of a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, or I mean, at least in the short term, right? Because I feel that like we're still at the stage, at the point in time when having some of this additional time, where it feels like it's additional time, right? Like, it still feels novel. And because of that, I think folks might be using that time more effectively. But just like we see when it comes to like lifestyle inflation, we move the goalposts. Like, we're constantly on the hedonic treadmill. And before long, this is just going to seem like normal, I think, for most folks. And they might fall into that trap of not using that additional time in ways that is going to move the needle for them. And I think the solution there is just being more, again, it's about being more intentional. And actually, a little shout out to our friend Laura Vanderkam. She recently published her book, Tranquility by Tuesday. But if this interests you, we would recommend you check out that book, because it is all about basically finding time, making time for the things that matter. Mm.
And she's like one of the best thinkers on that subject.
Absolutely.
Out there.
And
sure.
By the way, you might see yours truly in that book. Like, if you happen to pick that up, you might even see Matt's perfect week listed out there. We've talked about that before in the past.
And how often does that perfect week get accomplished, Matthew?
Never. Never. But the ability to essentially see that this space and this time exists, and that you could potentially use, oh wow, I've got 2 hours before I need to go to bed after I put the kids down, and to think, oh, I could literally watch a movie every night of the week if I wanted to. That was the idea behind Matt's Perfect Week, to basically prove to myself that I did have the time to do certain things.
Yeah, we often like discount some of these time pockets and some of these hours that we have, and we're just like, it's a throwaway chunk of time.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to one last story. Matt, this one is about buy now, pay later. We have had kind of a fraught relationship with this new method of buying stuff online, and it's although it's mostly been negative. and we've advised against people using buy now, pay later at checkout really since its inception, largely because of the behavioral finance nightmare that buying stuff via this method poses. People tend to spend more money than they otherwise would, because those smaller installment payments allow you to then lessen the pain. And the truth is, American consumers, they don't love pain. And so they're like, yeah, cool, give it to me. Give me this BNPL. And so they've used them to the tune of billions and billions of dollars. And many are harming their finances in the process. The lone bright spot from our vantage point that we've talked about on the show was the fact that buy now, pay later companies were supposed to start reporting your activity to the credit bureaus, creating this inexpensive avenue to potentially boost your score. So we talked about how, as this is the case, as more buy now, pay later companies are reporting to credit bureaus, maybe, just maybe, using it sparingly can help boost your credit score over time. But it turns out this isn't actually happening. The Wall Street Journal reported this week that Klarna, Afterpay, and Affirm, the three biggest, they're still not reporting data to the credit bureaus on transactions that are happening. And this article also talked about the fact that the credit bureaus have some responsibility in this, because although they are willing to accept the data, they don't seem to know how to use it effectively. And even people who are using buy now, pay later, they're not making any late payments or anything, they would see their scores drop. So I'm not surprised on either account. I'm not surprised that the bureaus don't know how to make use of this data to influence your credit score properly. But the takeaway for How to Money listeners is to continue to avoid buy now, pay later altogether. There's zero upside for you, especially at this point.
Yeah.
And so basically just a crummy way to buy things that could put you in a financial hole.
Yeah. It also doesn't surprise me that the buy now, pay later companies aren't reporting the data. Because if you think about it, what would that do? If they actually reported that data to the credit bureaus, what that would show is that, oh, there's actually more risk by lending to these people, because it would reveal the risk that there is a lot more owed by this person than we originally thought.
Yeah.
And what that means is that then companies, some of the retailers that the buy now pay later services are offering their services to, right, like the different online retailers, it's not as attractive of a sell to them, because all of a sudden, all of these consumers are going to be less likely to be approved for additional credit, which would, of course, ultimately come back to bite the buy now, pay later companies in the butt, right? Like right now, they've got these valuations because they're able to say that, oh, no, we're able to offer so much money, like whatever their stats are, the number of transactions and the number of approvals that they get. But that's
the bigger shopping carts at checkout.
Yeah. And they can do that when they're not keeping track of how much these consumers owe via Afterpay, right? Like Klarna doesn't care about Afterpay. Afterpay is not looking at what the same person owes on Klarna. All of these different companies are siloing their information. And I mean, that is one benefit of the credit bureaus, is the ability to see across the board for there to be transparency and how it is that the consumers are borrowing.
Yeah.
So, again, not surprised at all that they aren't reporting this information, because it's not in their best short-term interest at the very least.
And buy now, pay later is not in your best short-term or long-term interest.
No.
So especially as the holidays are around the corner, Matt, I think you're going to see more and more opportunity. People are going to be more and more tempted to use buy now, pay later to buy some of the goods they want to buy their loved ones for Christmas or whatever.
Avoid it.
And you got to, it's worth spending less and not using buy now, pay later, because you're going to get yourself in a hole that's going to be hard to get out of. And in January, that always happens to people with credit cards. But I think buy now, pay later is going to create an even more severe and negative situation for a whole lot of folks. And early next year, we're going to have a lot of people who have buy now, pay later loans that they can't afford to pay off because they bought all the stuff that they could and they opted to pay it off over time. But even in these smaller bite-sized payments, they can't afford them.
That's right, man. Yeah, I could not agree more, but that's going to be it for this episode. And like Joel said at the beginning, it has been a minute since we have asked listeners to leave a review. We've been preoccupied with a newsletter, with a credit card tool, but ratings and reviews are that coupled with folks sharing episodes with their friends who don't listen to the show. Those are the best ways for us to grow, for us to get the word out, for folks to learn how it is that they can handle their money better. And so a big thank you in advance for that. But Joel, that's going to be it, buddy, for this episode. We hope everyone has a fantastic weekend. Specifically, we hope you have a great Halloween on Monday. Hopefully you're not trick-or-treating on Saturday or Sunday. Halloween, it's on Monday.
That's right.
You always trick-or-treat on the day of Halloween.
Yeah, you're a stickler about that. And I'm with you, though.
I am. So that's going to be it, buddy. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Thank you. Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.